For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Want to make a podcast? Spotify's got a platform that'll let you make one super easily and distribute it everywhere, and even earn money all in one place for free. It's called Spotify for Podcasters, and here's how it works. Spotify for Podcasters lets you record and edit podcasts right from your phone or computer. So no matter what your setup is like, you can start creating today. Then you can distribute your podcast to Spotify and everywhere else your podcasts are heard. Video podcasts are also available on Spotify. And when you want to take conversations with your fans to the next level, Q&A and polls are the best way to get them talking. With Spotify for Podcasters, you can earn money in a variety of ways, including ads and podcast subscriptions. And best of all, it's totally free with no catch. Ever since I've discovered Spotify for Podcasters, I just enjoy putting these podcasts out for everyone to really like. I highly recommend you give it a try. It's so easy to use. Download the Spotify for Podcasters app or go to www.spotify.com/podcasters to get started today. What is up, everyone? Welcome to the show. I got the horse right here with me. We're going to be discussing the 49ers offensive line. We're going to get into this depth chart and discuss all the way from starters to the back end. Who's most likely to make this team? Who's probably going to be gone? And also, just horse, who's going to win these training camp battles that are going to be coming up? I think it's something exciting. Now, the first place to start it off, unless you have something to say, I was going to say the first place to have a start is Trent Williams.
Is he starting?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we can just have Trent Williams, left tackle. There needs to be no other discussion about the left tackle
position. Apparently.
Yeah, so that one is done. Now, here's where it gets interesting. We're looking up some depth charts from other places. We looked up CBS. We looked up ESPN. And we saw a bunch of weird things. Now, first off, from CBS, they have Donovan West starting at center over Jake Brendel. To me, that was very shocking to have an undrafted free agent starting over a guy that had been on the roster for a full season with Alex Mack and a guy that, you know, has been in the league since 2016. Of course, what are your feelings on that? We'll start with that. The center position between you, it's Jake Brendel. We'll say Donovan West. Who do you think is more likely to be the starter? And then how do you see this thing playing out there?
Between those two, I see Jake Brendel. I don't really think it's that close. I think West definitely has some high upside, but I don't see Shanahan starting an undrafted rookie at center.
Yeah, and the thing is, Jake Brendel, you know, watching a little bit of his film recently, I've been kind of getting into it, not a lot yet, but I've noticed he's got pretty good technique. He's got some ability there. There are some questions for me about Donovan West, about how he looked at Arizona State as far as allowing himself to creep up and elevate and play tall. He plays tall, he plays narrow, and those are some things that I'm worried about when he gets to the NFL, going against the biggest, the strongest, and the fastest guys on the defensive side of the ball that are going to be able to throw him around. I'm a little worried about that. I don't see starting potential in Donovan West in 2022. Now, don't get me wrong. I think he could develop into a good player in the NFL. What is your thoughts on Donovan West? Do you agree with what I said? And then second, what do you think about his feet? Do you think he's one of those guys that's going to be able to, you know, make the transition and then do well in Kyle Shanahan's system?
Well, I agree with your assessment, but I think to go on it, he seems like he needs to hit the weight room a little bit too, which is, once again, not a knock. He's a young guy. He went undrafted for a reason.
Yeah.
I do think he has an NFL player potential. I think I wouldn't be shocked if he made the team. I'm just...
Yeah, and one thing that he talked about was he had an injury to one of his fingers, and that prevented him since his freshman year from maybe being able to latch on and make blocks. And that was something that I looked at on film and thought he would often lose control of a defensive player. Those players were able to win. Now, I don't know what that difference is going to be. I don't know how much of an effect, but we do know that if you have an injury to your hand as an offensive player, sometimes that can hurt you. If that is shored up and he's not losing that control with a defensive player, do you think that increases his opportunities and chances to make this team?
So you're saying that if that was him playing unhealthy, does
right.
it increase?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so, definitely.
Yeah, so I mean, I think the questions are going to be there. Brendel and Donovan West. I would say Brendel is number one right now. Is Donovan West the number two guy on the depth chart, or do you think it's one of these other guys? Is it Keaton Sutherland? Is it Nick Zakel? Is it Daniel Brunskill? What do you think?
Man, up until I see Donovan West play, I would have to say that Brunskill.
Do you think Brunskill
would shift over?
You think he's going to be the starting center or the...
I think Brunskill's going to be the starting right guard.
Okay.
I'm talking to you, this is if they pick up no free agent centers.
Yeah.
And then he would shift over to center if...
If something happened with Brendel. And,
well, you'll see when we go through the rest of them what I think, but...
Yeah, okay, so Daniel Brunskill, we'll go ahead and move there. Daniel Brunskill being the right guard, I think is one of those ones that's interesting. We've heard Matt Maiocco talking about the fact that Jalen Moore has continued his transition to the interior offensive line. A lot of the thought has been during this offseason that Daniel Brunskill is going to be in a competition with Jalen Moore. Alex believes wholeheartedly Daniel Brunskill is going to win that job. I think Daniel Brunskill has the heads up on that job, but that Jalen Moore has a fighter's chance. If he can throw a haymaker, the 49ers are going to be high on him because he's a guy that had fifth round talent, but really is because he was more developmental. And 1 year under Chris Forster could mean he's in position to push Daniel Brunskill for that spot.
I think it's even more than a punter's chance. I would give Brunskill the advantage, but I would say it's a 70-30.
Wow. There you go. Okay. So Jalen Moore definitely has a chance in your eyes. Mm-hmm. And I agree with you. I'm with you on Jalen Moore. And do you think that is kind of the matchup at right guard? It's those two guys. One of them is going to win the spot. Yeah. All right. So the other thing that was interesting is all the conversation during the offseason has been Aaron Banks at left guard. We've heard it from Kyle Shanahan. We've heard it from other people talking from what Chris Forster said. Trent Williams has said it. Yeah, when you go on to ESPN, they have the left guard being Colton McKivitz as a starting left guard. I do think Colton McKivitz will be in the conversation to battle Aaron Banks. They're not just going to hand it to him. But I definitely think, you know, from everything I've heard, that they think it's going to be, they want it to be Banks. Do you think it's going to be Banks? Do you think Colton McKivitz is a legitimate option?
I think Colton McKivitz is a solid player, but I'd be pretty shocked if it wasn't Aaron Banks. Aaron Banks definitely, he's gotten in better shape. He's gotten healthy. It really looks like he's been putting the work in the weight room if you see pictures of him. And he went as high as he did in the draft for a reason.
Yeah, I mean, Aaron Banks looks the best I've ever seen him look. He's definitely a physical specimen. Him and Trent Williams on the left side, from what I've seen at OTAs, it looks ridiculous. I mean, they're bigger than everyone else. They're moving at a rapid pace. So I think that is something that the 49ers really want to see this year. And if the second round pick ends up panning out the way the 49ers hope, that could be big time. So far from what we've talked about right now, we have the center being Jake Brendel. Of course, Trent Williams at left tackle, Aaron Banks at left guard, right guard Daniel Brunskill with Moore having a fighter's chance to start. So that only leaves right tackle. There has been the talk about Mike McGlinchey. You know, is he going to be healthy? Of course, from everything he said, he's definitely ahead of schedule. Do you think it's going to be Mike McGlinchey? Because I've started hearing people talking about the fact that they would not be shocked if it's Daniel Brunskill that's actually the starting right tackle when the 49ers play the Bears.
If McGlinchey is healthy, McGlinchey will start.
Yeah, and what are your feelings about McGlinchey as far as, I mean, there's been a lot of people that are really down on him as a pass blocker. Our kind of our thought process, and I know my thought process has always been that McGlinchey's one of the better run blockers in the entire league, and that when this 49ers offense is going strong in the run game, that he becomes a better pass blocker because of scheme. Do you believe the same thing?
Yeah.
And are you worried about some of the matchups that Mike McGlinchey's going to have to go, you know, deal with this year against these opposing teams?
No, I'm not, because we've all seen McGlinchey at the top of his game, can hold his own with these guys. McGlinchey's a very good player. He catches a lot of crap for stuff that, you know, isn't always his fault. First of all, these guys are not easy to block. I mean, but I think McGlinchey's definitely a top 30 tackle.
Yeah, I mean, McGlinchey has always been one of those guys that I think is just fantastic in one area.
Like, yes.
I mean, and when we're talking about right tackles in the league, there are some, you know, I mean, people bring up to me all the time, Lane Johnson is a guy that can do it, you know, both run blocking and pass blocking. But usually, traditionally, right tackles aren't as good in one of those areas. And usually it's pass protection, because that's the blind, you know, if not, they'd be playing the left tackle spot and be the blindside guy. So when it comes to McGlinchey, I think sometimes we're a little, I'm talking about everyone in general, a little too critical of him, because he may be doing exactly what the 49ers actually want him to do, is be really good at the run and then at times, you know, be able to handle the pass. And in fact, he was having one of his best pass protection years in 2021 before he was injured.
Exactly. I thought the last time we saw him play might have been the best version of Mike McGlinchey we've seen.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. So we got our starting offensive line right now. Jake Brendel, barring any, you know, other signings, being the center right now. Daniel Brunskill at right guard. We got Aaron Banks at left guard. And then at the tackle spots, of course, the one that always is going to be at left tackle, Trent Williams, and right tackle, Mike McGlinchey. Now the conversations happen, because now we know that Daniel Brunskill won't be the swing tackle. So we got to figure out who this swing tackle is going to be, Horst, and there's going to be some options. Since Jalen Moore is not starting at right guard, of course, he's an option. You have Justin Skuel, who was supposed to be that role last year. He's going to be available. You have the fourth-round pick, Spencer Burford. It could be him. And then throw in Nick Zakel, who played tackle in college but could be a guard or a center. Who do you think is most likely out of the names that we talked about? And I'm forgetting Colton McKivitz as well, to be the swing tackle.
See, I was going to go with Colton McKivitz.
Okay.
Because if you remember, at the end of last year, he was the swing tackle.
Yeah, and you were high on that last year. You were talking about Colton McKivitz was probably going to be the swing tackle last year.
I like McKivitz. I think he's a good player. I think he's a little bit underrated.
Yeah, so if it is Colton McKivitz, then we know he has the versatility to play guard and tackle. You like that versatility. The likelihood, I'm going to ask you this, how many, because right now we have six offensive linemen, if we go with Colton McKivitz. I'm not sold all the way on McKivitz playing the swing tackle role, but I think he has the potential, so I'm not going to argue right now with him making this roster until we build out the rest. But we have some other guys, and how many offensive linemen do you think the Niners are going to keep? Do you think it will be nine again, or do you think they're going to go with eight this year so they can keep extra players at other positions?
I think they're going to go with eight.
Okay, so you think they're going to go with eight. That means, in this case, there's two guys that are going to be left to make this team from the other guys that are remaining. Mm-hmm. That means we got Jalen Moore, Spencer Burford, Justin Skuel, Donovan West, Nick Zakel, Jason Pogue, Keaton Sutherland are names that are out there who I don't think are going to make this roster. One. Who's that?
Austin, man.
Oh, yeah. I'm not expecting Alfredo Gutierrez to make this team or Sam Schluter. Unfortunately, I just don't think they're going to make it. So with you do believe Colton McKivitz, and she's always going to be swing tackle, is going to make this team. Who are the other two in your scenario?
The other two I would have making the team would be Jalen Moore and Spencer Burford. And I think that Donovan West is the ninth if they keep nine.
Okay, so we're going to have a little bit of a disagreement here.
Okay.
Because I like the fact that Jalen Moore is going to be on the team. I'm with you on that. Spencer Burford, I agree with you on that. But I do not believe that they're going to cut Nick Zakel. I think Nick Zakel's versatility to play all five offensive line spots make him in rare air, the same air that you have Daniel Brunskill. When you can play all five and you're going to be able to show that versatility, I think they have high hopes for Nick Zakel. The scouts talked about the fact when they watched him that they've been watching him for 4 years and they would have drafted him if he would have came out of the draft last year. To me, they're just really high on this guy. I don't think Zakel is going to be gone, but I'm also going to say this. I think the 49ers will keep 9 offensive linemen. So in that regard, it could be Zakel. I just think they will keep Zakel over potentially even a Donovan West,
Okay. But
we'll see. So you said Moore, Burford, we agree on those. You had Skuel as he's getting cut, so Skuel is gone. I think I can agree with you on that. I think it comes down to Skuel and McKivitz potentially, and once you keep McKivitz, Skuel's gone.
I just think Skuel hasn't shown any progression.
Yeah, so, I mean, and that's the thing, right? I mean, what do you think? Because we saw Skuel in 2019. I think that's the biggest sample size we saw. One of the injuries to both Staley and McGlinchey was you had Skuel playing one side, Brunskill playing the other, and then at one point, one of those guys came back, and they pulled out Skuel and put Brunskill at tackle, showing that how much they favored Brunskill over Skuel. Do you think that Skuel's only chance to make this team is to actually beat out Colt McKivitz for that swing tackle
spot? Yes, and I don't think he's better than Colt McKivitz.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue with you on that. Colt McKivitz definitely showed himself to be, you know, a worthy player last year. I don't know what would have happened. We know Colt McKivitz was cut last year and then made the practice squad, came back. I wonder if Justin Skuel could have a similar fate this year, end up on the practice squad.
Yeah, I don't hate Skuel. I think he's an NFL player.
Yeah. Yeah, this is one of the conversations I wanted to have with you about Donovan West. A lot of people are really high on Donovan West and him, you know, being the starting center, backup center, heir apparent, you know, in this room. But would it be, and I'm going to put this, Nick Zakel versus Donovan West for this reason only. If you keep Zakel and you're teaching him how to play center, but he has the versatility to play guard and tackle, is he more valuable than somebody that only plays center?
I think obviously he's more valuable than someone that only plays center if he can play all three positions.
Yeah, I'm with you. So Horst has this team being on offense, offensive line, Trent Williams, of course, Daniel Brunskill, Aaron Banks, Jake Brendel, and Mike McGlinchey. And then those are the starting five. And then as the backups, you have Jalen Moore, Spencer Burford, and Donovan West. So those will be Horse 8. I would go a little bit. We go the same starting five. I'm with you on those. I think Jalen Moore could push Daniel Brunskill. And I think if he won that job, Brunskill being the swing tackle would throw things really haywire. But I would be with you on some of it. I think the only difference is I would keep 9. I think it would be Colt McKivitz, Jalen Moore, Spencer Burford, and Nick Zakel being the 9, you know, the 9 defensive or offensive linemen. And I think in that case, you're able to carry 9 because then you can have an extra guy be on your suited up roster. So I would be really excited about that. Is there any of these guys that you think are set for a breakout season this year?
The guy that I'm really expecting a lot of, and I was so down on him last year, was Aaron Banks. Aaron Banks, if anyone remembers me talking about him last year, I was very disappointed with what we saw in training camp. He never got into a game. We've come to find out a little more that his injuries were a little more serious. He definitely looks to be in much better shape, which should really help him in this offense. I really think, just from looking how he's transformed his body, that Aaron Banks, has been putting that kind of work in, and I think we're going to have a big year.
Yeah, I think Banks has definitely put in the offseason work. You're hearing all the coaches saying positive things about him. You're seeing his teammates saying positive things about him. I think that's really exciting. So I'm looking forward to what Aaron Banks can do in this offense. And, I mean, Horst, you were there last year. We went to the open practice at Levi Stadium, and Maurice Hurst is just making Aaron Banks look bad with the lateral movement. And it's nothing against Banks. It was just Maurice Hurst was looking that good, and you could tell Banks just wasn't ready, you know, for the situation. Now you see him, and he has the NFL body that you were expecting to see last year. So I'm hoping that when we get there this time, maybe maybe we're going to go out there together again, we'll see a different kind of Aaron Banks than we ever thought we would see again.
Yeah, I definitely think so. I think generally when you see a guy make a body transformation like that, that means they've been taking it very serious.
Yeah. So, I mean, the our offensive line, the way that it's worked out so far, the two big turnovers, of course, is Aaron Banks taking over for Lakin Tomlinson and Jake Brendel taking over for Alex Mack. I think the Jake Brendel thing is probably the biggest question mark of all the offensive line positions. I think everyone has been pining for the 49ers to go out and get J.C. Treader. They haven't been willing to do it. They're willing to stick with this guy. Forrester knew him all the way from Miami. He feels confident with it. So it looks, as of right now, like it's going to be Jake Brendel. But I'm going to ask you this, Horst. Is there anyone on the roster, I'm going to talk to any of the young guys, that you think has the potential to come in, and whether it's the beginning, you know, the beginning of the season before the regular season starts, but into the season, that you think could take that job? Could it be Donovan West? Could he go in there and take that job from Jake Brendel at some point?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, my thought has been that Nick Zakel could take the job in 2023.
Agreed.
But I'm with you. I think whoever starts at center, they're going to want to keep continuity with this offensive line. They said that's the reason they didn't switch to Banks last year, that he actually got ready. But they want to keep that continuity between the five guys they had out there.
And if you want me to be honest, I think the biggest surprise thing that has a chance of happening, at least in my point of view, is Jalen Moore starting at right guard.
Yeah, I think that's a matchup to watch for sure. Jalen Moore, he looked okay. The questions for him is still run blocking. He that was one of the big things that they said. He was kind of struggling being able to get people off their spot and really get a nice drive block going.
Well, that's why I think Brunskill beats him out. I think he still has some more work to do.
Yeah, and Brunskill's on a one-year deal now, $2.4 million. So, I mean, him transitioning out after the season, Jalen Moore potentially taking that spot. But how big would it be for the 49ers if their draft picks from a year ago were able to start at the two guard spots? That would definitely
be huge.
Yeah, that'd be huge. And we've spent most of this episode not talking about Spencer Burford. And Burford is one of the guys I'm the most excited about. Him and Zakel, I'm actually really excited about. I don't see any way that those two guys don't make the roster. And I think at some point during this year, you're going to start hearing people talking about how good both of them are.
Yeah, Burford's a guy that when you watch his tape, he really jumps off the tape at you. Everything, technique, athleticism, he's aggressive, he's mean. I think he's a guy that's, I think he's actually a future starter in the NFL.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think we might actually see the starting right side of the line be, and I'm talking 2023, it could actually be Jalen Moore and Spencer Burford and at right guard and right
tackle. To be honest, I haven't watched enough Nick Zakel.
Yeah, you need to get on the Nick
Zakel. I do.
I need you to come over to the bandwagon.
I'll have to watch.
There are other people that are on this with me. I was on it from the beginning, but I do like that other people have joined the Nick Zakel fan club. We're kind of pushing this thing down the road. Horst, is there anything else you want to talk about with the offensive line before we sign off?
I just think it's one of those things. People don't go crazy. The Niners have a good O-line coach. They have a great offensive scheme. Let's get to the games before we complain.
Yeah, I mean, so this is going to be interesting. I'm the most excited to see the offensive line and defensive line go against each other in training camp. I think that's going to be exciting. These guys are going to be prepared. Chris Forster does a fantastic job getting his offensive line ready. And I believe they went out and got pieces to make this one heck of a competition. Who's going to win? Right now, all we can do is talk about it. But at some point, we're going to know. But these are going to be some tremendous training camp battles, and I'm looking forward to getting in even deeper with offensive line. Horst, we get to talk about offensive line. I love talking offensive line.
Facts.
All right, guys. Everyone, you guys have a good day. Hope you enjoy the show. We'll catch you on the next one.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.